May the words of my mouth and the meditation from my heart be pleasing to you, my Lord and Savior. Please be seated. Good morning. Before I begin, I know what you're thinking. Isn't Steve usually sitting over there at a piano? Why is he over here at the pulpit at this point in the service? Well, it's kind of surprising to me as well. But I'd like to thank Father Armando, Father Mike, and our senior warden, Jay Anthony, for asking me to share some reflections with you this morning on our lessons. So a couple of weeks ago, I brought my car to the Toyota dealer up on Straits Turnpike in Watertown. So it was time for the car to get its regular oil change, you know, maintenance that you have to do every so often. And the dealer changed the oil and checked the car to make sure that I didn't need anything else like a new battery or something of that nature. So they also looked in their computer to make sure the car was on schedule. No worries, just an oil change. The car was in great shape. I picked the car up, thanked them, and went home. By the time I got home, I had received an email from the Toyota Corporation. They wanted me to fill out a survey about my experience that day at the dealership. And I said, oh, no, another survey. I don't need this. Delete. The next day, I got a text message from Toyota. Please fill out that survey, they asked. Deleted that one, too. The very next day, I actually got a phone call from the same gentleman who helped me at the Toyota dealer. He said he really wanted me to fill out that survey because it was important to him and to the company. And by the way, they were really hoping for nothing less than the top rating I could give. This kind of creeped me out a little bit. Like, how did they know I didn't fill out that survey? And why were they looking for the top rating? But he said he'd send me a new copy of the survey anyway. I said, okay. So by your reaction, I can tell you've had surveys like this. They ask you things like, how do you rate your level of satisfaction? Please use the scale 1 to 5, where your answer is 1 is very poor, 2 is fair, 3 is good, and so on. They also had a place where I could write in any answer I wanted to the question, how could we make your experience better? Well, I figured they were just doing their job, they did fine, and there wasn't much more to it than that for me. So let's imagine for a moment that you or I, one day, we open up our mail or our email or get a text message from the home office upstairs. Jesus says, we'd like you to take a few minutes to complete a customer faith survey. Your responses are important to us. You notice there are two questions. They're not asking you about satisfaction with God or Jesus. That would be kind of ridiculous, in my opinion. But the first question asks, please rate your faith using the scale 1 to 5, where your answer is 1, very small, 2, small, 3, medium, 4, large, and 5, very large. How many of you would be kind of confused as to how to answer that question? Okay, me too. The second question was, in this survey, was, is it important at all for you to increase your faith? And if so, how would you do that? I'm not sure how I would respond to that either. But in today's gospel lesson, the disciples seem to be telling Jesus that they think their faith is one on a scale of 1 to 5, very small. They want to know, how can we increase our faith? They feel that more faith or expression of more faith would be pleasing in Jesus' eye. Now, Jesus doesn't say, sure, no problem. Here you go. Here's some more faith for you. He also doesn't say, well, if you're not convinced by now, here's another miracle to show you that I will love you no matter what. Instead, what Jesus does is he scolds his disciples for lacking even mustard seed-sized faith and suggests that they should not expect reward or praise for their service. But maybe there's more to that story. When Jesus' followers, there's his disciples and us, ask for more faith, what is it that we want? We might want faith that brings a certain kind of certainty, perhaps even superiority. If you answered number 5 to that survey, you might say, I am more faithful than he is. But that means that faith becomes an accomplishment. Others might seek a mystical experience, a faith that kind of works like a tonic to get through the life's ordinary challenges every day, or even as a way to help us through struggling times. The request to increase our faith, the belief that if I had more faith, things would be different, reveals at best a misunderstanding of faith itself, and at worst demonstrates our own unfaithfulness. Jesus is very clear that faithfulness is not about size or quantity or the answer of a survey. He says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. The answer is not how much faith we have, but rather how we are living the faith we do have. How is our faith, our relationship with Jesus, changing our lives, changing our relationships, and changing the lives of others? If it's not, more of the same just won't make a difference. The mustard seed of faith is already planted within us. It may be small, but it's everything we need. If planted, it will grow. The mustard seed of faith is Christ himself. He has withheld from us nothing. We already have enough. We are already enough. We do not need more faith. We need more response to the faith, the Christ, the mustard seed, and the relationships we already have. As one of your musicians, I sat down earlier this week to contemplate what these lessons meant, and I first turned to song lyrics. Not hymns, because those are kind of an obvious place to go, but contemporary songs where the author might have spoken about faith and relationships with God. However, most such songs seek a greater faith only in times of trouble. You can imagine a whole list of country western songs, you know, titles like Jesus May Love You But I Don't, that kind of thing. So it struck me that we often ask for increased faith in times of trouble, but we rarely recognize our faith when things are going well in our ordinary lives, in our relationships with each other and those around us. Some of you may know that I am in my day job, I am the academic dean at Middlesex Community College in Middletown, and I've had the privilege of working in community colleges for 30 years. I'm inspired every day by working with students who persevere and struggle through personal challenges, by having families, jobs, and are overcoming life's difficulties. I'm inspired that they come to school, that they seek my assistance, and what can I do as a person of faith to make sure that the people and students that I work with are moving on in life and are reaching their full potential. I'm inspired by students who work with us on what we call the Magic Food Bus, a converted school bus that's now a food pantry for the neediest students among us, many of whom may not have breakfast in the morning before they come to school. I'm inspired by students who work with us in what we call Courageous Conversations, which are open discussions with students, faculty, and staff that are not meant to be instructional, but are meant to get together as people to talk about issues such as racism, intolerance, social justice, freedom of speech, and what it means to be a member of our society. And finally, I'm also inspired by students who are in a club that we call Students Promoting Equality, Acceptance, and Knowledge, or SPEAK. These are students who themselves are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transitioning, and are allies of LGBT plus students, highly concerned about intolerance and our treatment of others in the face of differences. So, getting back to Jesus' customer faith survey, his question, please rate your faith using the scale 1 to 5, is really a trick question. The best answer for all of us is all of the above. I did find some song lyrics I thought I would share with you, and I'll leave you with the words sung by Faith Hill, and maybe we'll sing them one day here at St. John's. It's not easy trying to understand how the world can be so cold, stealing the souls of man. Cloudy skies rain down on all your dreams. You wrestle with the fear and doubt. Sometimes it's hard, but you gotta believe. There's a better place where our Father waits, and every tear he'll wipe away. The darkness will be gone. The weak shall be strong. Hold on to your faith. There will come a day. The song will ring out down those golden streets. The voices of earth with the angels will sing. In the glory of his amazing grace, every knee will bow, sin will have no trace. There is a better place where our Father waits, and every tear he'll wipe away. The darkness will be gone, the weak shall be strong. Hold on to your faith, there will come a day. Amen.